Good morning. Great to be back with you. It's wonderful. And I never get tired of listening to Esther. I know Trevor does. But I never get tired of listening to that lovely brogue. It's just wonderful. And to hear what God's doing. And bless you all. Bless you all in the name of Jesus. Now, I know, ladies, have you all your roast beef turned down this morning? Praise the Lord. Yes. Because we want to take our time and we want God to speak to us all. Really, that's the whole purpose of being here, is to hear God speaking. Now, don't worry about these boys. Please, kids do not annoy me in the slightest. Okay? So let the boys be and let them run about and it'll not affect me. It'll not affect me. I'm so glad to see them. Let's have all these boys' names, please, starting with you, mister. Who are you? No name. Nathan, we'll call you Nathan, nothing at all. Okay. Jamie. Who? Cayman. Boys, I love that. That's a bit of a cool name. And who are you? No name. I knew there was a Nathan along the front. Oh, I know you. Who are you? Cody. Bless you, boys. That's wonderful. Let's just still our hearts in the presence of God. Father, we want to thank you this morning for so many blessings. I want to thank you that you're such a faithful God. And yes, there's many times in our life when we're right down in the valley and we wonder, is there ever going to be any way out? But David said, I have been young and now I am old and I have never saw the righteous forsaken nor my seed begging bread. Father, you're faithful this morning. We want you to come and meet every need this morning. God, there's many people in here, and we sense it in our spirit this morning. There's many people, and behind that lovely smile, there's hearts that are heavy. So, Father, speak to all of us this morning, starting with Mark Taylor here in the pulpit. We take authority over everything that might seek to distract this morning. Every unclean, ungodly spirit that would seek to come, even amongst the people of God. Father, break down barriers this morning. Break down any preconceived notions we have of the Christian life this morning. And let us see Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, life's exciting. Isn't life exciting? Who finds life exciting? Be honest with me. Let's have a show of hands. Come on. Who finds life exciting? Who finds life difficult? Who finds life a challenge? What a roller coaster. Exciting, difficult, and challenging. Well, I guess over the past few weeks, Heather and I and the boys, and I'm so glad Billy's praying for Heather. Somebody take it upon your heart to pray for me as well. We have had an exciting few weeks. Would that be fair enough, Pat? Difficult. Difficult. Difficult few weeks. But yet God has been so good. I know many of you were praying that I wouldn't get caught leaving Abbott's Cross last Sunday night as I made my way to the mission. And praise the Lord, I didn't get caught speaking. Honestly, didn't get caught speaking. Although it takes about 10 days for them tickets to come, I think. So I'll maybe get back to you on that. But God was wonderful. I met with Heather and the boys last Sunday night. They met me at the mission. It was the last night of the mission. And it was Kyle Alexander, the physio for the Ulster Rugby, that was with me. And we had a mighty time. We had a mighty time at Fuse Mission. Now, you weren't there, so I can only relay to you what took place. Safe to say, I was so glad that my wife and boys were there to witness this. There was 30 people committed their lives to Jesus Christ. 30 people in the one meeting. Was it to do with the preacher? Not a bit of it. It was to do with the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I was making my way home after a fairly long day in Abbott's Cross and at the mission. And if anybody knows Ballymoney, I got to the end of the Finboy Road and I became very unholy and I loosened my tie. Imagine. And then I became really unholy and I opened my top button in the car. Ooh. Ooh, how bad. And then I offered up a little prayer, and here was the prayer. Very simple. Lord, thank you for today. bring me home to Heather and the boys safely. It was wonderful because it was Heather and the boys got lost and they ended up back in the same place as where they began. They were driving about for an hour. And then I said, Lord, I'm looking forward to a small glass of Club Orange with ice cubes. That's what I was really looking forward to. My phone went right at the junction, just right at the junction. And it was one of the youth leaders, approaching midnight. He says, Mark, where are you at? I says, I'm here at the Finvoy turnoff and I'm in Ballymoney. He says, is there any chance you can come back to the mission? I says, why? He says, there's two girls that have arrived back in their cars, broken, and they want to trust Jesus. Drove back, and two ladies, one of them who I have been praying about now for 2 years, who broke her mummy and daddy's heart, and I was with her mummy and daddy on 3 occasions in the past 2 months, broke their mummy and daddy's heart, was sitting with the tears running down her face, and gave her lives to the Lord. 32 people. Praise God. The gospel's got power, hasn't it? The gospel's got power. Now, we're going to read the word of God together. Remember last Sunday we were preaching on desperate for God. And that's where I am in the life, desperate for God. But something wonderful happened this past week when I was preparing to come to Abbott's Cross. Now, let's go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Take your time. Find a place. We're going to chapter number 6. Now, if you don't listen to anything else I say, will you please listen to the Word of God? Because it's really important that you listen to the Word of God, because this is inspired and it's infallible, it's inerrant, and it's living, and it can change your life. Can change your life this afternoon here in Abbott's Cross. 2 Samuel chapter number 6, and I'm reading from verse number 1. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baalah, Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name, the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the Ark of God in a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the Ark of God, and Ahio went before the Ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fair wood, harps, stringed instruments, tambourines, sistrums, and on cymbals. When they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the Ark of God, and David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. The name of the place where Uzzah died is called to this day the Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day. He said, how can the Ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the Ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it came to pass that David was told, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. I love this one. It was powerful. Then David danced. Wow. David danced before the Lord with all of his might. David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And we know that God will add a blessing to his reading this morning. Desperate for God. I was desperate for God preaching on that last week, and I'm still desperate for God. But this week has been somewhat different. And I've got news for you this morning, because this is how God has led me this week. I have listened to so many people this morning and have used this phraseology, glory of God. Glory of God. It's wonderful. And I have heard this week on 7 different occasions the following phrase. Brendan Rodgers used it recently in relation to Liverpool Football Club. He said we need to bring back the glory days to Anfield. That's what he said. Darren Clark, speaking recently, said the exact same thing. He wanted to bring back the glory days to golf. Now, yesterday we were in Belfast, and this is how this all came together. We were in Belfast yesterday watching Luke play football. Do you remember what I was sharing with Luke? Luke's team have got whipped all season. Sorry, son, but you have. And they have got beat all season, and I mean hammered. But yesterday, I felt something different was going to happen in Belfast. And they were playing in a big cup match, and they went 1-0 down. And I thought, same old story. But cometh the hour, cometh the man. Suddenly it was 1-1. And eventually, in the 89th minute, my little small fry son scored the winner. Well done. Well done. And it was wonderful because they've got beat all season, and here they were, and they were just enjoying a moment of victory. It's wonderful when you enjoy a moment of victory. And of course, I was worried because Luke's very small and very skinny, like his daddy. And when he scored the goal, I could automatically see a mass pile landing on Luke. And so it happened. He told us afterwards he could not breathe. But as I was walking off the pitch, a dear wee woman that goes to all the matches, here's what she said. I think the glory days are coming back to Ballymoney. Powerful. Now here's my title this morning. Bring back the glory days. Bring them back. Bring them back. How can we bring back the glory days to Abbots Cross? And Abbots Cross is thriving. How can we bring the glory days back personally to my life? I don't know about you, but with all due respect, I am very tired reading about past glories. I'm very tired reading about it. And everyone is holding so many services to thank God about past glories in Northern Ireland. And that is my day. But here I am at almost 38 years of age. And I want to experience God's glory today. I want it now. I don't want to go through my life reading books about glory days in the past. And just longing to be back in 1859. I don't want to do that. I want to experience something of the glory of God now, today. I want it now. The reason why I've turned you to this passage this morning is this. David feels how I feel this morning. He wants to bring back the glory days. He wants to bring the glory days back. I've read this wonderful passage of scripture in 2 Samuel. And if I was to ask this morning what you think of David, and I think I referred to this in Abbots Cross before, I guess some of the children would say to me about the story of David and Goliath. I love it. Nothing more I loved in Cookstown Gospel Hall growing up. One of my favourite courses was, now I'll tell you why it was my favourite. Only a lad called David, only a little sling. Do you remember that course? Only a lad called David, yet he could pray and sing. And then when it came to round and round and round and round, boys, I let loose with a man beside me. I give him a good flailing with my hand, you see, round and round and round. I loved it. I loved it. And then when it came to the bit and the giant fell to the ground, all of us boys got up on the seat, the pew. Don't you be doing this now. All of us got up in the pew, and when it came to the bit and the giant fell to the ground, we came down with an almighty thud. That's the only reason why I loved the chorus. Just a rack. But yet all young people remember David and Goliath. Suppose if I was to ask some of the older people this morning, what do you think of David? You would automatically take me to Psalm 23. And you would say to me, Mark, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall never be in want. That's wonderful. Maybe some of you that have failed would take me to the sin with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. And you take me to that wonderful story when Nathan the prophet confronts David and says, "You're the man." But yet one of my favorite stories is the one I've just read to you. Because David's longing to bring back the glory days. Longing for it. He's longing for it. How was the glory going to come back? How was David going to get? Well, I want to explain to you that the glory had to come back, and it had to come back in a piece of furniture. That's hard to believe, isn't it? You see, David knew the Ark of the Lord, or the Ark of the Covenant, has been missing for over 70 years. The Philistines had carried away. You remember the story, 1 Samuel chapter 4. Do you remember when Eli was sitting at the gate? Okay? And they told him that the Ark of the Lord had been taken. And Eli falls back and breaks his neck. And then Phinehas' wife, she goes into labor. She gives birth to a child. And the child is brought forth. And she calls the child Ichabod. The glory has departed. David knows for 70 plus years that the glory has to come back. It has to come back. Now, for some of you younger people this morning, I want to explain this. Go home and read it. Acts number 25. I want to explain this big ark because it symbolizes the presence and the glory of God. Here's this ark, and it's 45 long, 27 wide, and 27 high. It's made out of acacia wood. Acacia wood. It's overlaid with pure gold. There's staves running through, and they're running through at a very specific angle, but we'll not go into that this morning. But they're running through at a very specific angle through golden hoops, and on top of this ark, there is what is known as the mercy seat. A great mercy seat. But just at the mercy seat, there's two cherubim, and they come up at both sides facing each other with their wings almost touching. And here, right in the middle of the mercy seat, rests the glory of God. God's glory. This is where God is. In fact, this is where God sits. This is where he meets with his people. See, on the Day of Atonement, the priest would have offered the blood upon the mercy seat. That's where he did it. This is a very intricate and a very special piece of furniture. It is here that the glory of God rests. Now, I've got some things to say this morning, and I hope you don't think I'm out of order. What we are sitting in this morning is bricks and mortar. Nothing more than that. I have met many Christians that get all up in arms about a lunch taking place in a church building, a bowl of soup being given out in a church building, that this is all very irreverent. This is bricks and mortar. Nothing more than that. We could go out this morning and meet up at Bellevue Zoo. We could. And guess what? We're still the church. We're still the people of God. Now please, don't get too hyper-holy. That's legalism. Okay? That's legalism. And God doesn't like it. God doesn't like it. What I want to stress is this morning, however, where two or three are met together in my name, there I am in the midst. Christ is here this morning. His presence is here. Now, I'm going to be very, very quick, and I'll not take as much time as I intended. I'm going to fly through this, because where I have read today displays three attributes of David's heart. Now, I want every person to understand and hear this morning, how your heart is how you really are. Okay, now I shared this with the young people last Sunday. Man looks in the outward appearance, but God looks on the... Absolutely. God looks in the heart. And where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Romans 10. I'm going back to my childhood today. I don't know why I'm going back to my childhood. Here's another one. Romans 10 and 9 is a favorite verse of mine. Confessing Christ as Lord, I am saved by grace divine. Here it is. If thou shalt confess with thy the Lord Jesus and believe in thy that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I want you to examine your heart this morning. Will you lay bare your heart before God? Just you. Forget about David beside you, please. Or Malachi. Forget about them. I want God to examine your heart because you know what the Bible says? I, the Lord, try the reins. I search the heart. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I was never as glad to hear Esther saying this morning, when she described that dear wee woman that was involved in all sorts of activity to put bread on the table. I was glad that Esther followed up by saying, let's not jump down her throat and get so pious. And I was glad she said that. Because, folks, listen, you know why the glory of God's not in Northern Ireland? Can I just tell you? We could ride over Ulster, Ichabod. The glory's left. Because we have created a false Christianity. A holy Christianity. A Christianity that suits our social bracket and our comfort zone. And it's nowhere near the Christianity list. Miles of it. Do I know my heart this morning? I haven't a clue how bad that seedbed is. But God does. How's your heart today? How's your heart? If you come in here this morning, and you can honestly, as a born-again believer, you can look at every single believer in Abbot's Cross, and you can say three words. I love you. Or if you come in this morning, and you can look across the pew. Oh, we see this when we're preaching, you know. And you can look across the pew at some dear sister that you just don't see eye to eye with. You fire the old dirty look. But you can put that down too. The blood will cover that. That's our mindset. That's the way we think as Christians. I can live how I like. I can do what I like. I can say what I like. And I can treat God's people whatever way I like. And guess what? I'll just come to God and say, God, forgive me. And the blood will cover it. Oh, you're in difficulty. Big, big, big difficulty. Three things. Here they are. About David's heart. Here's the first thing that I want to say. David's got a panting heart. Panting heart. Now, I use this word because Heather doesn't know this. When I was preparing this, something wonderful happened. Someone sent me a message about our wedding day. Now, what did we sing on our wedding day, Pat? I'm glad the marriage meant something to you. Here's what we sang on the wedding day. As the deer pants for the water. Do you remember now? Yeah. You were the bride. As the deer pants for the water. Do you know the song? And that's what we sang. And as I sat and thought about this lovely message, I was immediately taken into my mind to our wedding day and what we sang. But I was taken to Psalm 42 where this all started. As the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longs after you. David's got a panting heart. Now, Christian, I want to be faithful to you this morning. Listen, you see 5 minutes a day with God. See 5 minutes a day with God. Honestly, squeezing 5 minutes in a day with God and having an ugly prayer when you're driving the car just to ease your conscience. And maybe squeezing in UCB daily readings. And sometimes when we get to the today's date, we've discovered that we haven't been there for the past 9 days. That will not do God. Honestly. It won't do God now. You see, the Christianity of the Bible is this. If any man comes after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. You go home and read John 6 for it'll scare the life out of you. Honestly. John 6. You go home and read that. There's a lot of... Don't read it before your roaster. It'll be burnt. But there's a lot of verses in it. But let me give you a couple of verses. John 6 and verse number 67 says this. Jesus turns to his 12, his disciples, and he asks this question. Will you also go away? Will you go away? In other words, he has just spoken this amazing message about what it costs to follow Jesus. And Jesus now hits him with the cost, and he says this to his disciples now. His disciples. Do you want to go away now after you've heard the cost? Do you want to go away? And here we are in Northern Ireland with this lovely Christianity. Isn't it lovely? Honestly, it's lovely. Beautiful heating in our churches. PowerPoint. Beautiful. Lovely programs down to the last minute. Oh, yes, don't go for the time. Here we are, and we think this is it. This is Christianity. This is how God sees it. And yet if the disciples were to walk through that door this morning, they would go, sorry, what's going on in here? What's happening in here just now? Because what they had in the early church is missing in most churches. A panting for God and the Holy Spirit present in every meeting. The Holy Spirit. How do I know? Let me throw this out very, very quickly. I know the times. I'm going to have to throw this out. David has a panting heart. How do I know? Because he's got a spiritual hunger. Do you know how you'll know if someone's got a panting heart after God? They cannot set this down. Honestly. They can't set it down. They've got a real spiritual hunger. And they love the Word of God. And you see, you see in the midweek, what night's your midweek? Tuesday? Wednesday, Esther. Esther, what night do you come? It's okay. You see, when it comes to midweek meeting, guess what? Here's the sign of someone with a real spiritual hunger now. In their diary, if you keep one, or in their minds, they do nothing on a Wednesday night. Because that's prayer meeting night. They do nothing. But Mark, nothing. If you love God, and you've got a spiritual hunger, Wednesday night is prayer meeting night. You should be here. You should be here. Do you ever notice Sunday morning churches are packed? Sunday night, most churches I preach in, dwindles away to nearly nothing. Prayer meetings, one of the biggest churches in Northern Ireland that has got hundreds of members, many thanks at the prayer meeting, 26. But we love God, don't we? No, we don't love God. We love the Christianity we've created. It's not God we love. David's got a spiritual hunger. Do you know what his hunger is? Now go home and read it. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. His hunger is this. He wants to build a sanctuary for God. He wants to build this. This is his heart's desire. He wants to build a sanctuary for God. But not only that, he wants to bring the ark back. Number two, he's got a spiritual hunger. But he's got this steadfast hope. He's got this steadfast hope. What's a steadfast hope? Well, Israel, of course, is going to be divided. It is divided into 10 and 2. 10 northern tribes, 2 southern tribes, capital in Samaria, capital in Jerusalem. And Israel, God's people, they're divided. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Oh, come on. Do you know what happens now? See when people fall out in church? Start your own. I just start my own. That's what happens in Northern Ireland now. That's not the way God operates. You can't do that. David's one steadfast hope is this. God's people, the children of Israel, united together with one purpose. And here it is. Barack Obama elected me this morning. One nation under God. That's what David wants. Can I tell you what the Lord of glory wants this morning? Honestly. He wants one people. Gathered to his name. Under God. That's what he wants. And I know we've got so many free this and independent, and we've got all these different labels that we've got. But yet God just wants a people. I'll use a scriptural term. God is always a remnant. He's had it from Genesis and it's right through in Revelation. A remnant of people that just pant after God. Panting heart. I have to stop here. A panting heart. But wait, you hear this? David moves on. They've got the ark. They're bringing back the glory of God. But they've put it in a horse and cart. They've put it in a horse and cart. Now, wait, you hear this? David not only had a panting heart, but he had a precipitated heart. Now, for those of you that don't know what that big name is, and I can't spell it, Amy, so I'm sorry, Pat, you're going to look it up. Do you know what a precipitated heart is? A hasty heart. Now, I'm using the P words just for the sake of being simple this morning. He's got a hasty heart. Does that strike a chord with some believers? You ever been at some members' meetings? Boy, you see real Christianity in some members' meetings. Eh? People bump on the desk and the veins standing on. I never saw that when I was in the pubs, hardly. Honestly. We had members' meetings. Do you know why it is? You know why it is? There hasn't been this massive reality and massive change within their heart. It hasn't happened. And they've exchanged real Christian living with legalism and ritualism. We have to do it this way. Oh, have you? To do it this way. Or I have to do it my way. Can I tell you, David's exactly here. He's got a hasty heart because David's decided, yes, his intentions are good. I'm going to bring back the glory of God. I'm going to bring back the Ark of the Covenant. But guess what? He sets the Ark up on a cart. And God says, you don't do that, David. That's not the way you carry the Ark of the Covenant. David should have known that. Let me say very quickly a couple of things under this heading. A precipitated heart. Let me say something about a wayward hand. Now let's picture the scene. Oxen, the cart overlaid in pure gold. It's coming and it's in a bumpy, dusty road and it's just about to fall off. And Uzzah does what every one of us would probably have done this morning in here. Uzzah says, oh, the ark's going to fall. I must hold it. And immediately it got, God strikes him down dead. Is God cruel? No, he's not. God's a God that wants things done his way, not yours. Not your way. Not your way. Go you home and read the book of Numbers. I was going to give you the chapter, but I want you to read the whole book. It gives you plenty of food for the week. Go you home and read the book of Numbers. And even read Exodus 25. I'll give you that one, sure. And you read that the Ark of the Covenant had to have the two golden staves through the corners, the golden corners, the hoops. And it had to be carried upon the shoulders of the Kohathites, but forget that, Levites, priests, let's use that just now. Okay? That's the way God had it planned. That's the way it had to be moved. There is no other way to do it other than move it like that. But David decides in his precipitated heart, his hasty heart, let's just get the thing done and get it back home. Throw it in the cart. We'll get back quicker. And there's this wayward hand comes out and touches. And Uzzah dies immediately. A wayward hand. But let me say something about a wasteful hot head. I read it. See, as soon as Uzzah falls, what's the first thing David does? Gets angry. Now the word is korah. But you forget about that this morning, but I'll explain it. The word is korah. It means an instantaneous outburst with the veins bulging in your neck and your face red with temper. This sounds so familiar to me. You get it? Do you ever notice when things don't go our way in the church? What do? Get all hot-headed. Trevor Glanders will not be telling me what to do. Or any of them elders. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. They can do what they want. The Bible's bang up to date, folks. I'm being very, very serious here and reverend. Do you know why you're like that? You're just a hothead. And it's you that needs dealt with. God needs to deal with you. And I'm going to take it a bit further. Be very careful, for he will deal with you. And the way he might do it, you won't like. He won't like. David gets angry, and you know what he does? The Bible's so bang up to date. Do you know what David does? He says, scrap the plan, forget about the ark, I don't want it now. And he sends it away to Obed-Edom for 3 months. That's us. It's Christians. Scrap it. I'm finished. Boys, it's 10-1. I am sorry. Panting heart. Precipitated heart. I want to finish on a good note. A purposeful heart. What do you hear? See, when the ark's away for 3 months in Obed-Edom, David's getting some jam time. I like to call it jam time. Jam. Now, not Robertson's jams with a wee gollywog man on it. No. Jesus and me time. You ever have it? Jam time. That's what you need. Jesus and me time. David is sitting and the whole thing's calmed down. And David's just sitting and it's just him and God. It's just him and God. Let me say three things as a close underneath a purposeful heart. He's got a personal review. Now, I hope we go away from Abbott's Cross this morning and honestly have time this week to have a personal review of your life. If you're wrong, admit it. David had to. And he was a man after God's own heart. And he sits down and he's a personal review and he says, you know what? I acted wrongly there. I should have known. I should have known that God's way was to carry the ark with the golden staves. I've done things my way. And he's a review and it breaks him. Breaks him. And he acknowledges once more, like he did in Psalm 51, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. God, it's no one else I failed. Only you. It's you I've failed. And he's a review of his own heart. Personal review, but a plan re-established. I'd give you loads of reading this morning. Praise the Lord. Go home and read as well. I'll just throw more in. 1 Chronicles 15 and 16. This is the same account, only in Chronicles. The plan re-established was this. He sends this time not just anybody in a cart. He sends the people that should have went to bring back the Ark of the Covenant, the Levites. He sends them on a 10-mile trip to bring the Ark back right. Do you know how good it was? After only a few paces, I read it, they stop and they sacrifice. See, by the time they get back in Jerusalem, they offer that many sacrifices because, guess what? They're back in the will of God. And they want to thank God for what they're doing. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful when we take our hands off the thing. Just take your hands off. Listen, dear believer this morning, you see all the different works and ministries that are going on in your church. Never kingdom built. Honestly, never think it's your work. The Sunday school work, or the kids club, or the youth fellowship. Never think, well, that's my ministry, that's my work. It's not your ministry. God's only choosing to use you, but at any moment he can remove you. Remember, it's his work, and it's his kingdom you're building for. And you just thank God every single day, because I do, that he chooses to use me. I'm finished. You'll be glad to know. Here's one of the theme songs for Christians now. You in your small corner and I in mine. And the church divides into all different wee cliques. Okay? Wee cliques. And we adopt this theme tune. We have our corner and our club. They have their corner and their club. And can I tell you? Ichabod. Glory departed. God won't bless until you do it his way. And for his glory. What sort of heart have you got? A panting heart? A precipitated heart? Have you got a purposeful heart this morning? Are you going out of Abbott's Cross and if you have to, honestly, if you have to eat humble pie, go do it. If you have to say sorry to someone, go do it. Because can I tell you, if you don't do it down here, you'll give it an account of it up there. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us might receive the things done in the body, according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. Come on. Bring back the glory days. Bring back the glory days. God wants them back. Let's just fill our hearts in his presence. I'm giving you the opportunity. All eyes are closed and heads are bowed. If you listen, if God's speaking to you this morning, you understand you've done things your way. And you want to acknowledge it. I'm standing. Because I've been like that. Just stand where you are right now. If you know that you've been doing things your way, but you want to genuinely say, God, yep, I want to do them your way. Just stand where you are. We'll pray with you. Father, we want to thank you this morning that as for God, his way is perfect. God, you do what you need to do in here today. You take the master scalpel surgeon and you cut away fleshy pieces because you want to give us a new heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, bless Brother Trevor Glanders this morning. Bless dear Esther this morning. Ultimately, we want God's glory in Abbott's Cross. And we want his glory to rest upon our lives. We thank you for Calvary this morning. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for a risen Savior that wants to live within every repentant heart this morning. We bless you, Lord. Amen.